FM. Or streaming live at www.chly.ca.
This is where radioactive fallout is formed.
The main reason for deconstructing our food and deconstructing our food system is that it's fun, it's enjoyable, it's a way of connecting ourselves to our own communities, to our own families, to our own bodies, to our own cultures, to our own selves.
Join myself and guests on Deconstructing Dinner each and every Thursday at 11 a.m.
This hour is brought to you by West Coast Floral Design and Gallery in the Old City Quarter on Wesley Street, specializing in custom floral designs for any occasion and art by local artists. Call Sandra at 250-754-1015.
This is Dr. Paola Lake. You are listening to the Dr. Lake Show, and I am pleased to be here. I'm saying pleased to vary it up from my usual happy state. I am very pleased to be here this evening. For those tuning in for the first time, this show is about building resilience. And really, we're trying to work on building community here so that we can start to share all those little secrets everybody uses to when we look at other people and say, hey, they look like they're doing well in spite of a particular challenge in life. I think that's the remarkable part, is that we can actually find ways to do that. That's what this show is about. And we are here broadcasting from Nanaimo, CHLY 101.7 FM, and we are rebroadcasting across the NCRA, across Canada, through the NCRA. Excuse me for that. And tonight, I am having a guest who's here for the second time. We are doing a follow-up with a little extension in what we're doing. This is Tammy Fye, who is a work-life balance coach, who is also a speaker, massage therapist, and does a lot of work really on healing using a variety of tools, from meditation, providing meditation groups, using herbs, massage, oils. So lots of different avenues to working towards being well. Happy to have you here, Tammy.
Thank you, Paula. It's a pleasure to be here once again.
Well, you know, I feel like we always have more to say, right? That's what we're here to share it, here to share what we have to say about this wonderful, our theme of the day. What's our theme of the day here?
Resilience and dealing with broken dreams.
Ah, yes. And how do we deal with it? Because I think there's a lot of broken dreams out there. So we did cover a little bit, but for those who maybe didn't tune in last time on the idea of, you know, how you got into this area, because there was, speaking of resilience, a personal reason that got you in this area. I'm wondering if you could just talk a little bit about your background and your interest in this.
Absolutely. Doing what I do is not what I had ever thought that I was going to end up doing. Almost like I got called through having a broken dream. I was in a relationship with somebody that I was planning to spend the rest of my life with, and they got killed in a logging accident. And through that, I felt that it was important for me to embrace my grieving process. And I wanted to be well. I believed that there was a bigger picture at that time. and that all things have a reason for happening, although they don't always seem fair and they don't seem nice, there is a bigger reason. And it's really up to us to decide if we want to look at that from a negative perspective or a woe is me, how hard I've been, you know, I've been done by, or how can I learn and grow from this? How can something good come out of this? And I really recognized the day of the accident because I was there. I was actually up north coast of British Columbia near a town called Bella Bella, which is extremely small. And I was in a logging camp with about 20 men at the time. So I had to, even with that, find some resilience to cope with that day. I couldn't just collapse in a ball when I heard that my partner was drowning in an accident. And so from that point, from the time that I was willing to accept that, yes, he was drowning, which was that night. And then, you know, from there on, I really worked towards how can something good come out of this and embracing my process. And through that, I did a lot of massage because I found that my body was getting tight and painful and I was feeling uncomfortable. And even with grief, it makes us feel not so good sometimes if we're not moving and processing that energy. So I found that that's what I started to do. I got some massage. I was introduced to essential oils, and being a bit of a skeptic, I wasn't sure how that would work, but it did. And I found that it all worked out extremely well. So consequently, many years later, like about 14, I'm in a practicing aromatherapist, as well as doing a variety of different types of massage, really with a focus of healing and helping people to release the stress and tension in their bodies.
So it was through a tragedy of your own that you found healing,
or absolutely,
you found some of these resources and you found them helpful, and then you wanted to share that with others. And, you know, it's funny because the idea of finding a positive purpose out of a tragedy is not one that people can digest very easily, especially at the moment that the event or the tragedy has occurred. I imagine while you were going through it, you had a hard time seeing some of the light during that point. I often, you know, use kind of a metaphor when we're going through that dark place of being in somewhat of a tunnel. And the tunnel has many curves to it. And there is an opening and a light at the end of the tunnel, but you cannot see it at the moment because you're just at the beginning of this tunnel. And so really it's finding your way so that you can see that light. It doesn't always come in an instant, and sometimes we have to reach out.
That's exactly it. We have to reach out, and I think that's probably for most people the biggest challenge, because there's a lot of suffering internally because we don't know who to reach out to, what they're going to say, what, you know, are they going to be available for us, whatever our reason is. And that's what I love about that we're having this opportunity, is there might be some listeners now, and maybe we can make a contribution or just say something that can help them to feel inspired or just take a step forward.
And that's what we're going to do today, is walk people through different ideas of how they can navigate some of these challenges in their lives. You were talking before the show, you know, we're talking about broken dreams, and what came up in the conversation of something you're doing for yourself is you're going on a retreat to Bali.
Absolutely.
So tell me about that.
Well, that was another broken dream that I at the moment didn't know. How it came about is my grandmother that was 98 and her health was failing. My mom and I would chat that one day, you know, we would like to go with my aunt and my cousin on a vacation together. And we didn't know where it was or anything like that because it was too premature. But we'd often just talk about one day. And so that's fine. But as you're aware, my mom and my grandma passed away together at about 10 days apart. So consequently, that dream died. And I never really kind of I recognized that there was an aspect of disappointment to it. And I thought, well, I need to somehow fulfill on that for myself. And how could I do that? And then what happened is I was introduced to this woman's retreat in Bali. And I just kind of looked at various different ways and it all kind of came together. So I really recognize that that's going to be some healing process and some great things. I don't know what they're going to be, are going to come out of that adventure to Bali. And I actually also have a girlfriend that in that same evening when I had told her, she said, I want to come. And it's for me, that's really exciting. It's the first time I've ever had a girlfriend actually say that and make it happen that they're able to. So that's very cool. The other thing that's also really exciting about it is we're also going to be stopping in Hong Kong for a few days. And this is another thing about the power of intention and how our words have meaning that we don't often connect with or think about it. And what happened back in Expo 86? Were you around here then?
Yes, I was actually an interpreter there.
There we go.
Yes.
So it was fabulous. Expo 86, I went there with my parents, and I remember going to the Hong Kong Pavilion, and we had watched the show. And I said to my mom, I want to go there one day. And at that point, I had no idea about how I was going to go or when or anything. And now I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful.
Absolutely.
And sometimes those ideas, they're ones that they doesn't necessarily mean they've been in our minds. I know for me, running was one of those, because when I was younger, and ironically, I'd have this vision of myself running, but I'd say to people, I don't like running. And so even with the vision was more powerful than the belief, because ultimately I ended up running. And so now I no longer say I don't like running.
Love running.
But things can change, right? And so the point of that is the dream and to have that image. And so we may have a broken dream. And your example here is of having had dreams there put in your head at certain points in your life. And maybe those possibilities were closed, but you're actually witnessing this right now, is yourself doing these things manifesting for you.
Absolutely.
And so that's part of the theme of the day is how to have that dream and then how to manifest the dream, which, right, many people might have lots of thoughts about that.
And for some, they might not even have the possibility of how can I even have a dream?
Yes. And that's what we were, one of the things we talked about. Okay, so I can meet many people. I've actually met some people who will say that they don't have dreams. I met some people that say when they were younger, they never really thought about their future and what their dreams were. They just thought about and just getting a job, you know, just the regular things that everybody. So we're not all kind of geared towards thinking about a dream. And, you know, maybe we can even talk about what it means to be a dream, because to have a dream, because I don't actually mean necessarily monetary. And when I talk about dreams with people, they'll often think, oh, the dream of a big house and a lot of money. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about a dream. What are we talking about here?
Well, you know, I think when we're talking about having a dream, it's about connecting with what makes us feel good, what inspires Yes. us, what gives us passion. Because we've, you know, to know what it's like to feel kind of dark and not have a great day, it's like gray weather. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, to have some passion. And sometimes, you know, people might have a dream or they might have a goal and might not even be theirs. But mm-hmm. somebody told them that they needed to become
right.
whatever for their career.
Get and a practical job, you know, do what you have to do, take care of responsibilities. And so we're given some, from the environment that we're in, ideas about what's possible for us. And that's a huge part of it. The ideas that we have drawn from around us. Aren't we in the land where we, the pursuit of happiness? You know, so we have a bit of that orientation.
But how much conversation is there really about an authentic inner happiness?
Right.
There's the external happiness that
yes.
people,
Yeah.
But how much inside, how many people go to sleep at night and feel peace mm-hmm. or feel calm or feel loved.
Right. And those are really meaningful dreams about having a quality of life, not just surviving, but living in a place of gratitude, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I may have talked to you about a book called Flow, and it's all about the study of optimal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And often that is, they're really talking about moments that we experience an optimal state,
mm-hmm.
and how to nurture some of those particular states. So we do have some abilities to cultivate a particular state.
Absolutely.
And the question becomes how. And one thing that you and I mentioned before the show was the idea of believability. And, you know, I know a lot of people would say, well, I don't believe that it's possible for me, or I don't believe that I could be a writer. I don't see that it's possible for me to give up this job. And so there's a real practical element. I always think dreaming, we think about this idea of perhaps it might not be practical. That those are just dreams. Those are pipe dreams. We even talk about pipe dreams. So how do we determine a dream that is feasible? I mean, of course, if I've got a disability, I might not be able to run and be a runner. Or if I've got, you know, so where do we, how do we determine a dream?
Well, for me, I think it's about looking at what it is that we can do,
mm-hmm.
and taking little steps. And what is it, what is achieving that dream? What would it mean to us? So starting to, how do we want to feel? How do we... And all,
so clarifying those,
the feelings,
clarify what you're yearning for. So one of them might be I crave peace. So getting clear on where you're at now.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you at now in the dream?
And what would it feel like if you had peace?
What would it feel like if you had peace? One thing that I do with people, with some of my clients, is I provide them with, it's called the Wheel of Life. And it is a, and so for people who are listening right now, and if you happen to have a pen and paper, and you're welcome actually to call in. I want to open this up for callers. Our phone number here is 250-740-1017. That's 740-1017. And if you want to participate, you can actually just grab a piece of paper and a pen and do some of this on your own while you're tuning in. Is you draw a circle in front of you, and you cut that circle into, let's say, 4 slices of pie, or 8, let's say. Maybe cut it in 4 and then do 8 sections. So you have a piece of a large pie with 8 pieces, and you can write in certain areas that represent your life. One of them would be health. The other one might be your career. You might have a third one that's personal development, leisure, perhaps finances, physical environment, and relationships. So you've got a covering there of different areas. And then what you can do once you've split up the pie into different pieces is evaluate, where do I stand in each of these areas? Now, this might be a good way to determine where you're at now in your life. How is my health, you know, physical well-being? How is my career? And determine in each of these areas, where is my level of satisfaction? And as you determine your level of satisfaction, it may help you decide what areas do you have more to cultivate. How can you create a dream with even sub-dreams if you want to break down the dreams? Because often, sometimes you feed one area in your life and it has an effect on all the other areas. Any comments on that?
No, I absolutely agree. Other than the piece with physical health, sometimes it's also important to look at our mental, emotional health.
Yes.
Because if we're feeling a little blue, then it might be difficult to kind of get some of those other areas in. But as we go through the evening, we're going to give people some other ideas of how to kind of get moving.
So for those of you that are maybe just tuning in right now, I am speaking with Tammy Fai, and we are looking at how to build from broken dreams and how to start rebuilding again. And, you know, there is a process for many people that they may have to go through some grief amidst that. Right now we're also looking at some tools as you're trying to put your life back together, perhaps in different areas. And also, again, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call 250-740-1017. So you made a comment, and one of the comments you made around building on dreams, and we can draw that first step from the pie chart, but is dealing with your emotional state. And you were talking about steps, taking steps, small steps. I'm wondering if you can elaborate on what that would look like.
So for a person that might be sitting at home right now listening to this and feeling a little blue, well, first of all, one thing that they're doing that's positive is looking at what you're doing that's positive. So you're listening to this show where it's all about inspiration and helping to recognize that we have a choice, just taking a little bit of action. And so one thing that people might want to do is make a list of different actions that they could do. Some actions might be bigger and some actions might be actually quite small. Mm-hmm. It might be just taking one little task. Maybe it's doing the dishes. Maybe it's having a shower. Maybe it's going outside and looking at the beauty around them and finding out something that they're grateful for.
So I'm going to be a client right now, or let's say, because I can hear their arguments. I'm so well-versed in the arguments of someone who's in the situation.
Perfect.
And the argument would be, but I have nothing to be grateful for. I've lost everything. I'm poor. I'm struggling. I don't know what I'm going to be happy for right now.
Well, maybe you could be happy for the fact that you're able to even express that. You're able to just notice where you are. So one thing that you could think about is you can breathe and just notice your breath going in and out of your body. And you don't even, whether you're happy or whether you're sad, your breath is still going.
Down to the basics. We're going to be even grateful for our breath. And maybe sometimes that's exactly what it comes down to.
Because,
right?
Yeah.
So if we are really reaching, we can sometimes stay with what is present right in the moment and be grateful for even just being present and being able to breathe. You do mindfulness groups as well.
I do.
And I imagine some of that is centered on helping people in this area.
Right? It is.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I'm sure that that tool helps people as well.
Oh, practicing mindful meditation is very cool because it really can allow you to go on a journey to see what's going on inside, see how that brain is going. But what I would suggest for some people that might be a little analytical or a little, you know, used to having the wires and or the programs in the brain be spinning is really maybe just get yourself an egg timer and set it for 1 or 2 minutes that you practice it. And just notice the thoughts in your brain going. Notice how your body is going and focus on your breath. So that's something that you could actually just do right now as I'm talking is noticing your breath. But also notice what's going on in your brain. Mm-hmm. Notice the mental mind chatter.
So it's actually a good self-awareness tool. And if someone wants to figure out how their mind is working, mindfulness would be a great tool for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In terms of the gratitude piece and going back to that, one of my experiences is, and this is something I probably practiced from a very young age, and became more conscious of it as I grew older, is the fact that when we wake up and we spend most of our time focusing on what's missing in our lives that that experience seems to amplify. And when we're able to, in our lives, be grateful for what is present, mm-hmm. even if it is, I'm grateful for breathing. Even if it is, I'm just grateful to have shelter, even though it's a small little bachelor suite. And I'm grateful to have a friendly neighbor. They're not grand and they're not grandiose, but honestly, in a lot of the research, some of the happiest people is not because of grandeur. It's because of gratitude. Because if, you know, my personal experience is if we don't live in any place where we're appreciative of something we have, we may only notice it once it's gone. And I think that's kind of sad that we can... And often, even if something bad might happen to me, a fender bender and a thing like that, I'll say, well, thank goodness I'm okay, or thank goodness. It's looking on the gratitude side of even a negative experience, because things can actually be worse.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, totally. It sounds like a parental thing to say, well, things could be worse. But it really, and there's some truth in that experience that, you know, I know if I've been well and then I've gotten ill and then I'm well again and I go, thank goodness I'm well. And that those are always, it's in the midst of loss that we start to feel that gratitude.
That's true. And so no matter where we are, there's something that we can be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for some people, if they are in some of those spots, it might sound a little bit hokey, or it might sound, I don't know, mm-hmm. but that's okay. You know what? That's just, there again is a judgment.
Yes.
So that, set that aside, or go, well, I'm going to follow your instructions and mm-hmm. I'm going to see if you're right or not.
Sure.
Or maybe I'm going to prove you wrong.
But absolutely.
At least you're taking some form of action mm-hmm. and you're trying to follow this process that we're talking about.
And one step towards the gratitude is if you, for those who have tuned in and maybe started their own little pie chart and where they discuss different areas, is not just looking at what's not working in these areas, but look at what is working and what is already working well in your life. So relationships, you may want to think about who are, you know, name five people in your life that you really appreciate or that have made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Name five experiences in your life that make you feel good. And so there's different ways to create gratitude, and even looking through a table like this. So if any listeners can think of some people they're grateful for, or maybe certain foods that they get to enjoy on a regular basis, or you know, the arts, whatever it is, when you even look at your own table, to pick out parts of your life that are working well. Wasn't there a saying, you know, put the light on what is right?
Absolutely.
It's kind of the theme. Yes.
The other thing that I've really had an experience with recently is I had a client who weren't happy in their relationship. And so through the dialogue, it was like, okay, so how are you contributing to this relationship coming, you know, not being happy? And as we had the conversation, they started to realize how they were actually fueling the fire for the relationship to be tumultuous.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like there's little ways, you know, if we're unhappy, what are ways that we're doing that are supporting that? That are supporting, keeping us in unhappiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so gratitude and starting to look for something good is another way to get our focus onto something positive.
You know, through this book flow, one of the statements that the author makes, and I'm not mentioning his name because I don't even know how to pronounce it. Flow is a book, Study of Optimal Experience. And he says, you know, our quality of life really depends on our quality of our subjective experience. It's not the objective world out there that shapes how we feel about life. It's what happens within us.
But if we watch television, we'll put it on the external.
Yes. Yeah. So that's not what our society says. That's what the author of Flow says. But ultimately, that's what we're working towards.
And so would you agree with that statement, or would you disagree with that?
That is the quality of our inner experience. Absolutely. And I've had enough evidence. A big part of it is I work with tragedy all the time. And I will tell you, people's distress is much less related to the nature of their crisis, as more, it's much more related to the way that they make meaning, the meaning they put into the crisis, how they interpret it, what it means about them as human beings. What does it mean about their future? So when we talk about broken dreams, where it's not as much, yes, it is the broken dream that has plays a role, but it's the loss of hope for the future that they can manifest dreams or create something they want that ultimately has the emotional impact. So the broken dreams themselves conjure up more limiting beliefs about what's possible for us. So that's part of the healing that happens, is starting to build and again into, you know, and often I see people put their all their energy of building a dream into one person or all their energy of building a dream into one job. And if that job didn't work out, then that's it. Their dream for life is broken. And where often for me, it may be a matter of examining, you know, maybe that job is going to propel you into even a better direction if that one wasn't the right one, and perhaps it could lead you to something. So it's about being creative in the way that you're looking to at a disappointment. And you can look at it as an absolute loss, or to see it as, you know, yes, painful, grieve, we all need to grieve it and process it, but to see what other possibilities can be, what doors can be reopened for us in another direction, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So back to you, Tammy, when you're working with this and we're talking about ideas of, you mentioned several things prior to the show. One of them was about movement. I'm wondering if you can talk about movement.
Well, sometimes when a person's feeling rather down and not overly optimistic about life, we often will go for foods that will make us feel comfortable, mm-hmm. starchy carbohydrates, they're comfort. And yet at some level, they're giving us a sense of immediate gratification or a way of comfort for the moment. And then eventually that comfort will show up on us as we continue with that process.
Oh, you mean show up on us physically?
Yes, around okay. our hips or around our bellies.
Oh, you mean actual physical. Okay, yeah. That's
yeah.
so true.
And then we're now carrying around our comfort blanket, which is around our hips, our fat.
Yes.
Just making a little bit of humor.
Yes,
although,
why not?
Although I recognize that if you're one of those folks, it is rather painful, or it can be painful to be in that situation. So what I suggest is it is about movement and moving towards maybe something that might not taste quite as appetizing, but it's going to be healthier and support wellness. Drinking water is also something that's going to be very helpful. But movement, getting up and moving around, not just sitting in front of the television or right. in front of their computer, because those things are really, with what you were talking about, they're the objective, they're the external. This is where, you know, well, if I had how the movie stars are, my life would be perfect. Well, if we start to listen to some of those movie stars' lives, they're not all perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But if we want to give them the power and the we can have that illusion that they have the perfect life. But what I would suggest to people is that they get up from their chairs, and if they've got a pile of dishes, maybe wash one or two plates, or get up and go outside, or just open the window and breathe in some fresh air.
And even a small gesture can have a far-reaching impact. And I think we have a tendency to say, well, what difference is that going to make? I was actually hearing a story about a depressed individual in another province who is yearning for a relationship. And some of the support that he's been getting has been, why don't you come and join this group for a dinner? Just even though you're down and you're feeling low, just come and join us. Or why don't you come to this event with us? And what this individual will say is, we're treating the symptom, not the cause. He says, I'm still coming home to an empty apartment. So he won't go on any of these. So I'm just trying to illustrate how we can make, put up barriers to even action, even if it will enhance our state. And it's all about enhancing our state, even if it is in the moment, even if it's not fixing the problem. It can help clarify. Like we were talking before the show about the power of just being in a particular state. And, you know, you're saying movement can alter it, or doing something like opening a window can alter it. And that can have far-reaching consequences.
You know what else is very cool is when you go out onto the street where there's other people and you smile and you say hello. Because have you noticed a depressed person? How often do they smile?
Not very often.
Right.
Not an authentic one anyways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So get out there and smile and say hello. Or maybe it's about going to an old folks home or going somewhere where there's mentally challenged people or something, and volunteering some of your time or to a soup kitchen or a shelter.
Yes. Reaching out to other people. And, you know, as the Buddhists say, one way out of depression is to help others. And so that is also action. And I would encourage, again, for the person who would say, well, what difference is that going to make in my life? I would actually just invite someone just to put the experience out there, even though you might not exactly have a lot of faith. It might not necessarily solve the problem. After the break, I'd like to talk about the power that emotional state can have in terms of being self-fulfilling. And perhaps we can talk about how people can, we talked about how they can alter it. But how do we fulfill? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, some of this. Any final comments before our little break here?
I'm excited to hear the song.
Yes, the song. Bruno Mars, he is does have some music that's out there already playing, but this one I happen to like. I thought it was really very relevant for today, and it's called Count on Me, because we do really need to count on each other. Let's exchange ideas here. You're welcome to call in after the break, too, at 740-1017. I am here with Tammy Fay, and we are talking about broken dreams and how to rebuild.
And that was area code 250.
Oh, 250. Yes. 740-1017. Thank you. I definitely need this, this guidance here today. And we'll be back in a moment.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. What friends are supposed to do, oh yeah. Ooh, yeah. If you're tossing and you're turning and you just can't fall asleep, I'll sing a song beside you. And if you ever forget how much you really mean to me, every day I will remind you. Oh, find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there.
humans are supposed to do. Oh yeah.
Yes, you can count on me. I think that's such a lovely song because we really, that's what it's all about here, counting on each other. That's what the focus of the show is tonight, counting on each other. Hopefully, for those of you tuning in, you're getting some ideas about how to deal with some of your broken dreams. I know it's always work in progress. I am here with Tammy Fye, who is a life balance coach, but also does a lot of different healing approaches to help people get in touch with their well-being. And right now I do have someone on the line, and you're on the air. Thank you.
Yes, you do.
Hello, hello.
Hello. One of the things I realized in rebuilding, or instead of dismissing a dream, mm-hmm. what was about the dream that I had that I enjoyed that made me feel lighter? What about that dream didn't work and faced, which was, on the other side of it, fear.
So what about the dream did you enjoy?
Yes. What about that dream that I used to hang on to did I like? Why did I keep going back to that dream?
Okay.
And why can't I, even though my life has changed, some situations have changed, why can I not still revisit that dream? Instead of letting go of it completely.
Yes.
Sometimes it just needs to be...
Yes.
Modified?
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent,
like
excellent. And you know, it's funny because you know, I resonate with that. There's people I know that, you know, they maybe the one job they didn't get, and okay, maybe we can draw what it is you loved about that job.
Yeah.
And maybe it can, you know, we can take that. Oh no, it was that job I was looking for. That was it. Sometimes we can get rigid in that. But what you're saying is stretch the
take
idea.
Take the picture out of the frame.
Mm-hmm. Comment, Tammy. Oh, sorry. Comment, well, Tammy.
Absolutely. Take the picture out of the frame. I like that.
Thank you.
I'm just getting there now. This is lovely. Thank you so much,
well,
ladies.
Thank you very much.
Take
appreciate
care.
It.
Bye.
And dream on and manifest those
yeah,
dreams.
Dream on.
This is new to me. It's like a shiny toy, man. Excellent.
Yeah,
thank
I
you.
Like that. That's what the show is called now.
And
from
notice,
now on, dream on.
But notice how you feel.
Oh, yeah. Exuberant.
And yes. How did you used to feel?
Not so much.
Yeah.
Oh, when I was a kid, yeah, I wanted to do that way back then, but
yes.
Something happened and I stopped even thinking that that was a possibility.
Yeah.
Until just recently now, when I've been getting my toe in the water and, okay, this is good.
Yes.
It's a lovely rush.
A story of inspiration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, bye. Absolutely. That's a wonderful comment. Yes. So, Tammy. Hi, Tammy. We're talking about, you know, putting yourself in a better state. And you were, before the show, saying even small things, opening the door, feeling the breeze, looking at the sky. And I know that there's some people that might go, well, how is that supposed to fix anything? And I would like you to comment on that.
Well, one other thing is might be looking at what is it that makes you feel good? Making a list of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And or if you can't find anything right now, then think of in the past. There must have been a time in your life when you felt good, mm-hmm. when you felt something other than what you're not feeling.
And could they write that? So right now, if you have your pen and paper,
I totally encourage you to write it down, because sometimes what happens is when we have the light, we have ideas and we have different ways of strategies, and we're on top of the world. And we might be grateful. But then when that light goes out, we might find that we're not grateful. We might go, well, there's nobody around. Nobody cares. Because we're now going into that dark tunnel that you talked mm-hmm. about before, or a hole. And so if we have that list of things, then we have something that we can reflect on when we go into that darkness that can help to bring us out.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, if we can start to think of the things that bring us joy or just kind of make us feel a little bit good, or what are those feelings and emotions, then we can start to take a little bit of action to move towards them.
Mm-hmm.
And it might, for some people, it might be going outside or seeing some pictures that bring some beauty or has some positive reminders to them. So there's a variety of different ways of how people can work with it. And I think it's important for each person to decide for themselves, find their own list of what resources actually connects for mm-hmm. them.
And that I've sounds also, excellent.
And I've also found that essential oils can be very helpful for this mm. because what they do is they actually work with the brain and work with the limbic system, which is our oldest part of memory. Mm-hmm. And they can also help us to shift. And I highly recommend finding some essential oils that you might find that you enjoy that just help to lift you up. And I speak from that from experience because it worked for me.
Mm-hmm. And so using senses, some sensual oils, that is actually directly affecting the brain.
Yes.
That can, and part of it is when we're in a positive emotional state, and it has some other far-reaching consequences. When we do study on the brain, we understand that thinking is best, decision-making, creativity, when we are in a calm place. And when we are in a positive place, we can hold a better perspective on what's around us. And so it has some consequences in choices that we make. If we make a choice out of despair and depression, it's going to be a different kind of choice than if we're making it out of a calm place.
Absolutely.
You know, I always thought of the James Bond movie. You know, he's always so cool, calm, and collected. I'm thinking if you have someone panicked, they're not decision making. We talk about our intelligence is actually compromised when we're in a distressed state. We can't think very clearly at that point. So that would be an essential piece, is starting with the small steps. Now, if we go back to the Wheel of Life, for those of you tuning in, and in the beginning of the show, I asked people to perhaps, if they had a pen and paper, to create a pie chart and where they divide the different areas of their life, and health, wellness, work, career, relationships, mental well-being, emotional well-being, and physical environment. There might be other areas you want to put finance. And how can we work with something like this to create our dreams? So part of it is feeling good in the moment, which is doing some small things that will help elevate our emotional state. And what about creating dreams that are reflected in perhaps the pie chart? What would people start to do?
Well, they could find, you know, something, a dream that is achievable,
mm-hmm.
possibly something that has a deadline on it. Mm-hmm. Some people might find that that works really well for them. Other people might find that that doesn't work so well.
Right.
And then my encouragement would be breaking it down into smaller pieces and do at least one action step a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and maybe get a visual of what that dream is going to look like. Or what's it going to feel like when you accomplish it? What hurdles might you overcome? Because they talk about life is about a journey. It's not necessarily just a destination.
Yeah.
Have you ever had an experience where you've set a goal and then you've reached it? Mm-hmm. How did you feel?
Exuberant.
Right. And was it actually the achieving the goal? Or when?
No.
What was it?
It was the journey. And because, you know, the goals that I've been most satisfied with have been the ones that were also challenging, not the ones that came easily, because those are the ones where I had to learn and grow and face a wall and overcome some of the barriers that I perceived. So the achievement was really about the journey, much more than it was the getting there. Because if it was a cinch to get there, I honestly don't know that I would have appreciated it as much. So absolutely. I mean, and, you know, right now I'm in the midst of training for a marathon, and, you know, I'd had some illness issues last year. And for me, it's the journey. It's the journey of running and, you know, dealing with the challenges of motivation and moments of where you're not feeling energized to do it anyways. And it's a very fulfilling experience, but you start with small steps. And so, as you indicated, working with something like this chart would, you know, be an arena to start building daily steps, as you mentioned. And some of the work you do is really around mind-body stuff. And so when you're helping people in that area with massage, and do you integrate some psychology work with that? How do you help people psychologically as they're working?
Well, how I help them is, first of all, learning to relax, because my thing that I've really learned or observed over the years is people don't know how to relax. They actually think that, well, I sleep at night pretty good, so that's relaxing.
Right.
Or I sit down and
watch TV. Yeah.
Yes, you've heard that one.
Oh, yeah.
Or when I get together with my friends, I relax.
Yes.
And that's not totally relaxing. Relaxing is about letting go. Mm-hmm. And it's, if we're a controlling kind of person, it's also about being in an environment where we can feel safe just to let go. Mm-hmm. And even just saying that, for some people, they might find that a bit of a challenge, or they think that they already know that. And really, to let go is an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I really help working with people, is I find a lot of people have really busy brains. They're used to go, 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 and not taking a lot of time for themselves. And so my biggest thing is about helping people to relax their brains, and or if their brain isn't relaxing, then to let me know and we can have a bit of a dialogue to embrace that, because sometimes it's not about pushing things away. Sometimes we need to embrace it and come to acceptance.
Well, what you resist persists. I mean, that's something that I've been told for a long time. And, you know, I think even all of these tools that we've given today, you know, the ideas at least that we've put forth, are effective and they have meaning. Yet I will say that when someone has a trauma and they're still living that trauma really in their body, and there's a huge amount of grief, these will sound like nice little words to them. They, you know, the ability to, you know, take on these kind of steps, they may need to work with some grief. And sometimes, like you said, if you've been trying a whole bunch of different techniques and trying to look at it thinking, and it's still this grief keeps resurfacing or trauma, for me, it's a sign. It's a message from your body saying you need to take some time with this, mm-hmm. you know, before you go into problem solving mode. Do some healing work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably also where your work comes in. I would imagine that people, I know people that really need kind of that physiological state. It can be hard for them to do it on their own, you know, because I'll teach relaxation training, and mm-hmm. But you're actually hands-on, literally.
That's right, because what happens is the body holds on to energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets stored and it gets locked. So why do we have tight shoulders or low back pain or headaches? Because we've got a lot of energy that's in the body that's not moving, mm-hmm. because we're in a holding pattern. And that's about survival. And we've probably, for most people, we've had that for years and years and years, mm-hmm. since we've been very little. And we started it unconsciously and it's kind of just progressed.
Mm-hmm.
So what using the hands, but also using the essential oils, because they go beyond, they work on the physical level, that's true, in helping the muscles to relax and going into the bloodstream and helping the body from that level, but they also work on the energetic level, and they work from the inhalation and going into the brain and helping the brain to relax. And when we can feel safe, then the body, because the body naturally wants to heal, so it's about putting ourselves in an environment where we can feel safe and feel that we can relax. Versus if you go somewhere and you don't feel comfortable with the person. Speaking of that, I have a newsletter coming out on shortly talking about five keys to having a great massage. And that's actually one of them, being able to, you know, share with your therapist what's going on for you so that they can work with you. And if you don't feel comfortable with them, then you don't necessarily, that's not the person for you. You want to find somebody that's going to, you're going to feel supported with.
Of course. Yes. So support is also a big factor in this journey that we're on, which is why we have this show here. You know, it's really hard to do it all by yourself. I can't say, and you know, in a lot of the research, and I will emphasize this to the listeners, a repeated factor that helps in resilience that I have seen, I don't know if I've ever seen a study that didn't include it, with social support. And for those that are not accustomed to turning to others for help, it is not a sign of weakness. And in fact, part of me thinks it's a sign of intelligence. Why should we keep repeating the same mistakes by ourselves over and over and over when we have other people who have struggled to find a way and may have some insight to give? That's why we need other people.
And I think no matter what community people are in, that there's a lot of different resources available. Like I know here, there's, for people that are going through grief, there's the hospice society.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure that there's a variety of different places.
So reach out, yeah. Do the inventory, see where you're at. And any final comments? I think this has been a great conversation, and wondering if you would like to sum it up in any way for the group,
just
listeners.
Really encouraging. So since you've been listening to the call, notice how you're feeling now versus where you were at the beginning of the call. And hopefully you're feeling a little bit lighter, a little, you know, that we've shared an idea or two. And remember to breathe. Even if that's all you do, focusing on your breathing and smiling, try find one thing that you can smile about or be grateful for and write it down, even if it's on a piece of paper or on your mirror, whatever works for you so that you can move one step ahead. And if you try and set a goal to take one action step or two action steps a day, I highly recommend it, because before long, you'll be moving full speed ahead.
Wonderful. And do you have a contact number?
I do. It is 250-754-3930. And I also have a website, which is lifestyleharmony.ca. So lifestyleharmony.ca.
And it would have an email address on there, so they could contact you through that. And if you have any questions about our show, also you're welcome to contact Tammy or myself at info@drlake.ca. So there you go. Any ideas for particular shows, you're also welcome to write in at info@drlake.ca. So there you go. It's been a pleasure, Tammy, and I hope that we're going to have a sequel to this. This could be our series in building personal dreams.
That would be fantastic, because I really, that's one of my missions in this life, is about helping people to fulfill their dreams and to have more inner peace.
That's wonderful. So we're on a mission here. We've got a goal. And for those of you who want more of it, please stay tuned. In future times, I'll be having Tammy Fye hopefully back on the show again, and we'll talk more about this. As for next week, I will be having Damiano Iacovazzi, who has been here once before. He's author of Sooner or Later, Restoring Sanity to Your End-of-Life Care. And as much as you might hear that and say, oh, my Lord, that doesn't sound like a light topic, he is amazingly humorous. and has some real a real positive look at how we can get to that point of our life and experience that journey. And that's something we all have to go on. So why not listen to it? Stay tuned next week. And Tammy, you want to?
Absolutely. You're better off to do it now than later.
Yes, sooner or later. Let's embrace it.
And embrace the fear of whatever it is and give this a listen. Check it out.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Tammy. And I look forward to our next time together.
Sounds great.
And for all of you listeners, I am wishing you all the best.